This is the Advanced Selling Podcast. The aim of this podcast is to help business sales teams grow their business with modern strategies and philosophies. Now, your hosts, Bill Caskey and Brian Neal.
This is Bill Caskey back at the Advanced Selling Podcast. Once again this week, I'm flying solo, Brian Neal. My co-host has not left the podcast. He actually is away this week, but I said he would be back this week, but he's not, but he will be back next week. And so in his absence, I'm going to be going over something that I've actually wanted to go over for a while, and this is a topic that we're finding is becoming more and more important to sales managers, VPs of sales, and to salespeople themselves. And it's this whole idea of behavioral competencies. What is it in your personality that makes you either a really, really good sales professional? I mean, with good results, not just someone who talks a lot, but I mean, actually a producing, results-creating sales professional. And what are some things, some deficits that might get in the way? And so Hogan Assessments is who we use for all of our work that we do, whether it's private coaching with salespeople or VPs of sales or entire sales teams. And we use the Hogan because we found it just to be the best. It's used in a lot of Fortune 100 companies. But I want to give you a little sense here of what it says and what we believe and what we've found evidence-wise leads to a really high-producing, results-oriented sales professional. And there are really five areas that we would say in the personality side. There's two sides of this. There's the behavioral side, in other words, how do you do what you do? And then there's the driver side, which is why you do what you do. So one thing in the personality side is, what is your ambition level? Do you have high ambition? I think I may have mentioned a few weeks ago, Jim Collins, who wrote the book Good to Great, had a piece on MSNBC.com where he says, you know, if you have sales professionals, or if you are a sales professional and you're always having to motivate yourself and try to figure out clever little ways to get yourself out in front of people, then you have an ambition problem. And he says, you've got to figure out a way around that, because if you're a VP of sales and you have a bunch of sales professionals who are low ambition people, you will always be sitting around meetings trying to figure out how do we fire them up and how do we motivate them. And that's just not where you want to spend your time. So ambition is really an important one. Here's another one, sociability. Sociability is the scale that measures how outgoing are you, how likable are you. Are you willing to get out with people and in front of people? In most business-to-business sales, you have to be out in front of people or even on the phone, but it still has a sociability quotient to it. Doesn't mean that you talk all the time. It just means that you like people. You feed off people. The third area that we look at is interpersonal sensitivity. And this is really important in sales, especially when you're dealing, of course, with prospects and with prospect companies where there's maybe more than one or two people. You've got to be sensitive to what's going on around you. You've got to be sensitive to what you say and how they react to what you say. Do you belittle them unintentionally? Do you make them feel not okay unintentionally? Do you interrupt them knowing that you have something more important to say than they do? Do you keep silent when it's appropriate to keep silent? So if you're high sociability and you love people and love to talk and love to be out, you might also have problems in shutting up and in not talking and in allowing the prospect to not only finish their sentence and their thought, but leave a little breathing space in between when they stop and you start. The fourth area is this is conditional. It's called prudence. And prudence is that ability to be rule-driven. And a lot of sales organizations require salespeople to spec out work, to quote, and you want someone who's fairly high in prudence doing that. If you're a sales professional or with an organization that you don't do that, you've got a whole different team of people to do that, you're more the relationship builder, then prudence is not really all that important. The whole following rules is not. And the fifth area in personality is this whole idea of service orientation. If you have a very low service orientation, you might be a really good door opener and client acquisition person, but you're probably not going to be a very good server and servant and account manager and making sure the customer is doing well and happy and always going back to check to see if there's anything else to work on. On the other hand, if you're a high service-oriented person, what we might call the farmer, in sort of old 1980s, well, it could be 1880s too, but 1980s, 1990s vernacular where you have hunters and farmers, And by the way, I'm not sure I believe in that whole concept, because I think there's a little bit of farming and hunting and a little bit of hunting and farming. And it's the reason a lot of times we put farmers in roles where they're account managers and we can't figure out why they're not generating any new business from the current client base. Well, it's because they don't have a hunting bone in their body. So I think there's a nice mix between the two for both sides, whether you're a new business acquirer or an account manager. But this whole service orientation is really important. It helps you know what your strengths are. So those are the five things that I have found on the personality side, on the behavioral side, on the how do I act side that really leads to very high production and very good income. If you don't have those things, you're going to struggle. You're going to have to make up for it elsewhere, or you're going to have to be very conscious about changing your behavior. Now, regarding the motives and values, what is it that motivates you? And do you even know what motivates you? You know, we have a Leadership Institute, which is part of the Caskey family of companies, and we do a lot of work senior-level coaching with leaders. And one of the first questions we ask is, what do you think your virtues are, and what do you think your leadership deficits are? And most of us have 7 to 10 virtues and have 10 to 15, maybe 20 deficits, but believe it or not, we can usually only name a couple of each. So here we are, people say, well, work on your strengths and play to your talents and play to how you can win and do what you do best, when many times we don't even know what we do. But we think we know what we do best, but do we really know? And the same with deficits. It's hard to work on improvement of things if you don't know where you're deficient. And many of us are deficient in things like interpersonal sensitivity, empathy. You know, the rule is that 80% of us are lacking in empathy, yet 100% of us would deny it. We all say, oh, no, we're very empathetic. But the fact is just the opposite. Most of us are not. So in the motives and values side, so we had the behavior, how do I act? Then we now have the why do I do the things I do? There's 11 scales here. I don't have time to get into all 11. But the two that we think are really important for salespeople, and you have to decide if you, in the absence of you taking the Hogan test, you have to really ask yourself, do I exhibit the behavior? What is it that juices me? And one is altruism. And we believe in sales that your altruism score has to be high, because we're teaching you a method to help people solve problems. If you have no interest in helping people you could care less, all you care about is making the sale. And nobody ever admits to that, by the way. But many of us, we have this gene that says, you know what, I can't care. I got to care about me, not about the prospect. That will come across. And the prospect will feel that. The vibe you'll give off will be a very selfish vibe. And so you have to be altruistic if you're going to follow our system. And some people are, some people aren't, some people are in between. But we think it's a very important motive to have is caring about other people. The second motive that's important to have is the commerce motive. And that's the motive that drives our desire for money. Now remember, it doesn't mean that you love money. It doesn't mean that you worship it. It just means that when you're in the right place on the Hogan assessment for commerce, it means you have to have money. It's just what you do. It's just how you think. It doesn't mean that you waste it. It doesn't mean that you pee it away. It doesn't mean that you are in love with it. It's just something that drives you inherently. So altruism, which is the desire to help others, and commerce, which is the desire for money, are both very important values that a sales professional of tomorrow has. Now, if you're a salesperson who has no commission upside and you are a salaried person and you are very happy with that and have no desire at all to make more money, then you probably would find that commerce is not a big driver for you. On the other hand, if you're a sales manager, a VP, and you can't figure out why some of your people don't totally embrace the new comp plan that you just introduced, and you say, well, you know what, John, you've got a chance to take your income from $125,000 to $275,000, and you sit around and say, God, why isn't John taking advantage of that? He could make so much more money. Recognize that may not be a motivator for him. 30% of the people in sales are not motivated solely by money. So if you have a sales force of 10 to 20 people, you may find that 30% of them have other things as their motivators. Now, the beauty of that is if you know what those are, you can play to those. You can create atmospheres and contests and things that will help them become more motivated, but money is not the only motivator. I find it interesting that we usually use money as the motivator in all of our comp plans and incentive plans and things like that. But the fact is, it's not for everybody. So anyway, I hope you'll consider these behaviors, the how-to, and then the why-to as you look at yourself. And if you are at a place right now where you're struggling a little bit, trying to figure out, you know what, I'm not generating the kind of income I want, I'm not generating the kind of results I want for my business or for me personally, then look back at both of those, both the five things I talked about before, and then these two motives. And again, as I said, there's a lot more to this, these reports and this assessment, but I thought I'd at least share those with you, because sometimes you can learn a lot just by looking at yourself and saying, okay, what am I missing here and what can I be better at? If you want to go to listen to past episodes, go to advancedsellingpodcast.com. You can always email us, listener@advancedsellingpodcast.com. Let us know if you have a topic for us that you need to hear more about. And we've got some letters. We'll probably do a mailbag next time when Brian gets back. I wanted to save that for him because he's usually pretty good at the mailbag. So anyway, I hope to see him back, and I hope you have a great week. Bye.
This has been the Advanced Selling Podcast, presented by Caskey Achievement Strategies, Indianapolis. Join us each time we record a new podcast by going to BillCaskey.com or to iTunes. We'll be right back.